I'm sorry in advance if I sound a bit tired. It's like 4 in the morning here.
Oh God, let's hurry up.
That's all right. We'll make it work. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're all good. You know, I was actually looking through your IMDb page, and I knew that you've been in Far Cry, Assassin's Creed, and Splinter Cell, but I was surprised to see that you've been in The Long Dark as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, been in it is, I worked on it only in terms of pre-production. We haven't officially worked on the story mode yet, but I've signed on to it is a better way to look at it, because there's a story mode coming, Raphael and I, one of the creators, the main creator, and Hinterland, and myself and Jennifer Hale and David Hayter and Mark Meir. I think Mark and Jennifer have already worked on it. Myself and David Hayter haven't yet because they're not ready to record the story mode yet. But sometime in the next couple of months, I believe, we're doing it.
That sounds like a pretty badass lineup.
Yeah. It's a weird thing, but I don't know if it was intentional or not, I guess, because Hinterland is a Canadian studio out in BC, but it's all Canadian kind of video game actors. Jennifer, Mark, David, and myself are all from Canada.
Right. That sounds really cool. I'm actually kind of surprised that it's still in early access as well, because I played it a lot back in like 2014.
Yeah, it's a new world, man. It's like they release games and they just keep them there until they decide they're ready.
Yeah,
and they just keep going.
And I also saw that you were in Contrast, which I love that game. I just never knew that you were in it.
Yeah, I like that game too. It was that was done out of Montreal, a very small company. And I just remember going in and talking to them and really liking the character, because it's kind of like an old school, I like that dialogue, that old school kind of. Film noir-esque dialogue that I really liked saying, and really liked the characters, both the characters, the guy and the girl in it. Got to kind of film my film noir-esque vibe that I don't really get to film on TV.
All right, let's move on to Deus Ex. How would you describe Adam Jensen to someone who has never played a Deus Ex game before?
I don't know. That's a hard question. I mean, you could describe it story-wise. Basically, you know, it's a guy who was a normal everyday man. He worked at a security company, got attacked, and he almost died. And then they rebuilt him because he lives in at that time in 2027, where human augmentations are a new technology, and people can be fitted with arms and in some cases torsos and legs and hearts even, and body and other body parts. So he's fixed up, and then he becomes this kind of hero for he wants to figure out the conspiracy behind why he was attacked, because he worked for a major company that created augmentations. So he wanted to figure out why he was attacked, and it goes, you know, up the ladder to higher and higher levels of wanted this company attacked. And that's just the first game. But in terms of describing him as a character, it's hard because, I mean, aside from his like innate sense of justice that he has, it's really it's pretty much up to the player. That's a great thing about playing somebody like Adam Jensen, is I gotta record or performance capture multiple choices that he makes, because it's really up to whoever plays the game to determine his character. But like I said, he has an innate sense of justice and empathy for augmented people, and for empathy for anybody. He's I think deep down he's a good person, but you can play him as doing terrible things if you wanted to. So that's what's so great about playing a character like him.
He really sounds like a RoboCop who can think for himself, essentially.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, RoboCop's one of my favorite films, right? And in that movie, you see RoboCop go from being just a machine that was created for a purpose to discovering the humanity in him. And I think it could be said equally for Adam Jensen, although he started out as a right from the beginning, the humanity is there, and he wants to find out who did this to him. But his empathy for mankind doesn't really grow. Doesn't really start from the beginning. It grows throughout the game, both games, as you'll see in the when the new one comes out.
What's it like to play Adam Jensen? Did you enjoy the experience?
Sure, yeah. No, I love it, man. It's one of my favorite characters. I find that a lot of times, recently, to be honest, recently my TV work, I've been very lucky doing some good scripts and stuff, but for the most part, video game scripts are almost better than television scripts and film scripts, because you have hours and hours to explore these characters. And the thing I loved about playing Jensen was that was one of the things about it, is that I love him, I love the world, I love the social aspects of the game, the political aspects of the game, and I love being able to play multiple ideas with this character. Like, no matter where the character goes, if you as a player choose to take him one way, I still have to justify why he's going that way, right? No matter what, even if I don't agree with it, I still have to justify it as an actor, and that's such a good challenge. So I love playing. He's one of my favorite characters I play.
Yeah, you mentioned that the player can essentially play Adam Jensen the way they want, but did you get a chance to like bring parts of your own personality to the character?
Sure, I mean, to a degree. More so in the way that I know how I would play the game. So when I play it after, I take it through and I go, this is me. But like I said, I probably did that maybe unconsciously when I recorded or performance captured the stuff that I think Adam Jensen should do. Maybe I had a little bit more of me in there. But like I said, no matter what, if he was doing things or the player made him do things that I don't think I would do, I still have to make it as realistic and justify it as much as possible.
And how would you play it? What was your preferred way?
My preferred way to play it is that I'm not a fully, like, don't kill anybody, go through the game, but I don't kill good guys. Even if they're trying to kill me, like, I won't kill cops in the game. I would choose things that would save lives over things that would cost lives. But bad guys, if I run into bad guys who are like trying to kill me or trying to kill Megan or Malik or whatever, then yeah, I'll kill as many as I can.
I guess Megan would be a bit more personal for you.
Yeah, especially in that last game.
Yeah. I read somewhere that after Human Revolution, you and your voice became so attached to the Deus Ex franchise that it ruined your chances of working on another game. Is that right?
To a degree, I wouldn't say it ruined it. It's what it is that in video games, like I've done multiple voices in cartoons and other games and things like that. Like, my work in Assassin's Creed doesn't sound like Adam Jensen, right? But the leading character in video games, most of the time, they're pretty much, you know, if somebody says to me, I want you to sound like the cool lead of a video game, I'm just going to be talking in my normal voice. And my normal voice is Adam Jensen, pretty much. So when they hear me, they say, no, that's Adam Jensen. Even now with Far Cry, I don't even speak English. And people in the game, people, you see like playthroughs of the game, people are like, yeah, I'm Caveman Adam Jensen. So I can't escape it. If the voice is anywhere near my normal voice, people think it's Adam Jensen. And in video games, a lot of times, the cool lead characters are close to what they want out of them, or close to my voice. But, you know, I played Federico in Assassin's Creed 2, and he sounded like this. You know, he was, like, really different and up high and things like that. So you never know. But, yeah, there's been some times where people have said to me, we didn't want to give you this job because we knew that we needed you to talk this way and that people would automatically think of Adam Jensen. I'm surprised they gave me the job in Far Cry, even though I guess the fact that it speaks a different language. Because if you look at Takar...
Because you're in Far Cry Primal, right?
Yeah, Far Cry Primal. Yeah. If you look at Takar in Far Cry Primal and you look at Adam Jensen just visually, they look alike. You know, they're both kind of... 6 foot tall, brown-haired, tough guys.
Yeah.
And they want a tough guy voice for it. And my tough guy voice sounds like Adam Jensen. So Takkar sounds like Adam Jensen.
So, are you a big gamer yourself, or did you just kind of stumble into the industry because of your voice?
I was a big gamer, and then I was a big gamer growing up, like Nintendo and Super Nintendo and stuff like that. It was huge. And then I got PC kind of in the early 2000s, like when the first Deus Ex came out. But then from when I graduated from college until I started legitimately making a living as an actor, I had no money. So I missed the whole PlayStation 2. All those years are gone. And like the first 5 years of PlayStation 3, I didn't have. But then, from then on, I've gotten back into it because I always loved games. And yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a huge gamer. Now I got kids, so like that even eats into more of my time.
Yeah.
So right when I get off with you, I think I'm gonna go play Rainbow Six Siege.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I love that game. Kind of addicted to that game.
Yeah, I played a couple of hours of it and I enjoyed it as well. I thought it was a really good game.
I love that game. And I don't generally like online shooters because the thing about them is because I said I don't have a lot of time. So I don't, by the time I get the game to the time I've become relatively good at it, it's like 2.5 weeks. But then everybody online is already 100 levels ahead of me. So I last like 10 seconds. So there's no point. But Siege is great because it's more of a strategic, like a strategy based shooter. So that guy, it's always it's really fun. I love that game. And I play a lot. I'm from Canada, so I like hockey. So I play a lot of NHL.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you ever played hockey yourself?
I'm not a good skater. I'm a terrible skater. I played baseball growing up.
All right.
Yeah.
This is more the American pastime.
Yeah, to a degree, but Montreal, where I grew up in Montreal, has a big baseball history. Jackie Robinson, first place he played professionally was in Montreal. Big baseball history there. So yeah, I grew up loving that sport too.
Moving on to augmentations, because obviously the big issue in human evolution and in Mankind Divided is augmentation. Basically, replacing parts of humans to improve or help them in some way. And we've seen examples of real life augments with human legs being replaced and so on. Now, if we assume that augmentation will become as advanced and widespread as it is in Deus Ex, where do you stand on that issue?
Well, I'm definitely a technophile, and I'm not a Luddite, so I don't I'm good with the technology helping mankind. I think I should be the first person anybody experiments on, just to be fair.
Yeah, because you've already got the experience.
Yeah, I've already like, look, I played this character. You have to do it to me first. If anybody can jump from a if anybody if anybody can jump from a 10-story building without getting hurt, it should be me.
So does that mean that you would get the Icarus landing system if you could augment yourself?
You know what I would do? I'd probably get the Cassie, the one where you can, the Casey, I guess it's called, the one where you can manipulate people into doing what you want.
Oh, the social
The
augmentation.
social log, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the CASIE. That one I'd get that probably, and then I'd get the Icarus landing. Because who would ever take an elevator again?
I know, right? Is it scary to you that we can do a lot of that stuff already, like replacing legs? Is it weird that we can just fix people like that?
No, it's amazing. I wish that it was even more advanced. So we need, wish we can. If a lung has cancer in it, I wish we can take it out and put in a robot one. Maybe it'll get to that day. Well, maybe it'll get to that one day. No, for me, I don't look at it as a danger thing. I mean, I'm sure there are dangers of it. We explore some of that in Human Revolution, but I mean, there's dangers in everything. The more technological advancement. I mean, before cars, nobody died in a car accident. Before planes, nobody died in a plane crash. But the benefits outweigh the harm, and I would imagine that that would happen with augmentations. Although, in the game, they do have that thing where anybody who has an augment has to take the drug to keep them, except Adam Jensen,
Of course.
to keep them from rejecting it.
Yeah.
And that would become a problem because just like in the game, the government ends up controlling what everybody needs, so they can charge whatever they want and control however they want to.
Yeah. Would you approve of augments if they were only cosmetic in the same way that we get piercings or tattoos today?
You're talking to a guy with 2, 3, 4 tattoos.
Yeah. So I guess that's a yes.
So sure, yeah. Although, you know what? That's an interesting question, though, because you have... It becomes like a bit of a moral dilemma, though, because I know some people I've met on Twitter, actually, who have lost arms and legs and have augmented, prosthetic arms and legs. Some of them that actually, open and close and things like that. Mm. And if somebody were doing that but didn't need it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what if somebody cut off their arm because they wanted a robot arm? You're thinking, well, that's not fair. This person needs it. So there is a little bit of a moral dilemma, I guess.
Do you think augmentations could dehumanize us to the point where we really aren't human anymore?
We mean like cell phones? Again, every time there's a new technology, people want to find something wrong with it because people are afraid of change. Personally, I'm not. I think it would be a great... I think if the augments... Because they already have them. If augments continue... I mean, imagine the idea of somebody going blind being able to get fixed with an augmented eye.
Yeah.
These are great things. Sure, there's a risk of people going too far, but there's a risk of people going too far in everything.
Because I would imagine that as long as our natural brain is intact, we're still human, and that's probably where I would draw the line.
I guess, but then if you look, I mean, yeah. See, this is where you get, we talk about this a little bit in the game. This is where you get into things like, well, what makes you human? Is it your brain? Is it your soul? Is there a soul? Like that kind of stuff. It's obviously the brain from a technological, from a technical standpoint. It's obviously the brain.
Yeah.
But what parts of the brain, like what if somebody said, we can replace the amygdala in your head so you'll never be scared again.
Hmm.
Maybe.
I guess that would help.
But who knows, or it could hurt again. It could. These are loaded questions.
All right. Let's move on to Mankind Divided then. Mankind Divided obviously being released in August after being delayed, and I personally was crushed when I heard that it was delayed. Does the game start off immediately after the ending in Human Revolution? And if so, which ending does it follow? Because there were a few.
There were a few options. Trying to think about what I'm allowed to say, really. I think what's out in the open is that it's 2 years later.
Hmm.
And I think, I'm pretty sure I can say this, that whatever ending you picked, it ends up with Jensen floating in the water and Panchaea getting destroyed.
Right.
And then Jensen's rescued, and then things happen up until, that we explain in the game, up until 2029 when Mankind Divided takes place. It's kind of that they were smart in the way they did it because they wanted to bring Jensen back, but there's definitely an option that is, well, blow yourself up.
Yeah.
but also, when you're bringing the character back, or even the world back, there were a lot of options in all four of those choices that sounded weird. In those four choices, there were a lot of things that happened that could happen in the world. And they kind of did, they found a way to kind of amalgamate all of them. Like, some of every ending kind of happened.
Hmm.
In a weird way, if that makes sense. I'm also trying not to give anything away, but like, right. it makes sense. But by the time the new game starts, with the background they give, it makes a lot of sense. And he's a little more grizzled, and the world is the great thing about this game. What I love about this game is that because of what happened in the last game, where augmented people got a switch and they got it flicked on and went crazy and killed a lot of people, now augmented people are segregated and put into ghettos, and so now we're dealing with not only the social issues of, like we were just talking about, about augmentation and being less than human and things like that. Now it's, or being more than human. Now it's, you start delving into issues of race. I mean, not specifically race in terms of the game, but the metaphor is there.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that, because it seems to me that Mankind Divided does take the augmentation issue to a whole new level, and like the parallels to racism and segregation that are already in Human Revolution seem even clearer now from the trailers, at least. So is the game essentially like the apocalypse of mankind?
Well, that's strong, the apocalypse of mankind, but it definitely is. No matter what we do, mankind seems to always circle on itself, and there's always going to be racism, and there's always going to be sexism, and there's all, you know, no matter how hard we try to fix it, something else comes up, whether it's like specifically racism or not. In this game, it's not specifically racism in terms of a race, unless you decide that augmented people are a race of people, because they are segregated, they are looked down upon. There are separate bathrooms and separate drinking fountains, and we go that far in the game. There are literal ghettos that the people are being put, that the augmented people are being put in. And the one thing I love about this, playing Adam this time, is that he can, because he's still out in the world, he sees what's happening to like the less fortunate augmented people and how he relates and empathizes with them. But sometimes sees how they go against his sense of justice just to survive. You meet a lot of people like that in the next game. That kind of stuff I love playing, because there's a dichotomy in Jensen now that there wasn't before. Before it was like, look, I'm super cool. I have all these cool augments. Did I ask for this? No. But I'm still going to be, I'm going to go solve the who took my girlfriend and who blew me up. And then in doing all that, he discovers, you know, the higher powers that are controlling it all. But in this one, well, he's still trying to discover, or not so much discover, but take down the higher powers that are doing all this. He's now in a position where he doesn't like the world that he's in, and he gets to be on both sides. So it's a great character to play this time around.
So is it like a darker, more conflicted Adam that we're going to see?
Definitely more conflicted, and more driven to a bigger goal. Last game, it was driven kind of to find answers of what happened to him, and he kind of stumbled on other answers. This time, he wants the big answers, right? And because he wants to help the people that are being trodden upon, and. But at the same time, he wants to take down the people that did Panchea, because he knows it wasn't the augmented people's fault that they did it. He knows that somebody flicked a switch and screwed everybody up. Well, then he knows who, but he wants to know, you know, why this time.
Hmm. What can you tell us about the big bad guy that we've seen in the trailers?
Marchenko, not much.
Is that still top secret? Much.
Yeah, he's still pretty top secret. I mean, as you can see in the trailer, he's augmented. He's kind of old school augmented, and he wants Jensen to say. There's a good example of what I'm talking about. Is he wants Jensen to join his cause and say the augmented people are being put down and put in ghettos and treated so disrespectfully. You should be on our side. He says in the trailer, "This should be your fight."
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I was talking about, the battle that's inside Jensen. Because part of Jensen goes, maybe he's right. But Jensen's sense of justice, like I've been talking about, kind of prevents him from doing that, because Marchenko doesn't really go about it in the way Jensen would like.
So is that where the player comes in? Because you said that you can be kind of on both sides in Mankind Divided. So does the player get to decide in the end?
Well, I'm not telling you that. The great thing about this game in particular is you could start the game and you could go a completely different way the second time you play it. And I don't mean that. That's not just lip service. I mean, you could play the game and not meet six characters that you would meet the second time you played it.
Right.
I'm not saying specifically six. I'm just saying like six characters. Or you could play the game another way and then not meet three or four characters that would have driven you in this other direction. And that's including the side quest. You can go on a side quest and then suddenly you meet a character who actually affects the way you play the actual game. You know, the world this time is really big and really dense in terms of all the things that you can do and all the choices that you can make and the people you meet. You know, you could choose to save this person, but then if you never met that person, you didn't save him, you'll read about him later and then not know what it is until you play the game the second time and go, I remember reading about this guy. You know, that kind of stuff. That's what's great about this one.
That sounds really cool. There was a bit of controversy about the augment your pre-order system that was announced with the game.
Yeah.
Now, as a gamer, like, what was your take on that?
God's honest truth, I didn't care when I saw it. I was like, okay, everybody's doing this. Literally every game company is doing the, you know, if you get this, then you'll get an extra level. If you get Far Cry, said if you buy it now, you get the Willy Mammoth pack. You know, nobody complained about that. It's the same thing. But the great thing about the Square Enix and Eidos Montreal people is that they, more than any company I've ever worked for in games or TV or anything, they listen to their fans. So when it got a lot of controversy, they said, people don't like this. Let's change it.
Yeah, because I think the problem initially was that the way the pre-order with the tiered system worked was that you had to pre-order multiple copies to actually get all the rewards.
Right, it was like get your friends to pre-order or something like that?
Yeah, because you could only choose like one from each tier.
Right. It was pretty smart marketing, but also people didn't like it. So, but again, like remember the last game, when the last game came out, or when the last game premiered at E3, and there were yellow highlights on everything you can access in the game. And people didn't like it. Some people didn't like it. So what they do, they made it an option. They said, you can turn it off now. You know, that's a great thing about that company. Or the boss battles. People didn't like the boss battles. So then when they said, okay, now we're issuing a director's cut for the Wii U, we changed that too. Now you don't have to kill the bosses. Well, you still had to kill the bosses. But now there's there's many different ways to go about it rather than just a straight battle, which people didn't like.
That actually reminds me, is Mankind Divided entirely ghostable?
I'm pretty sure it is. I guarantee you it's entirely, you don't have to kill anybody. Right. I'm not sure it's entirely ghostable because just story-wise, you have to meet these characters. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. That's a gameplay thing. But I definitely know that you don't, the bosses now, they can be dealt with violence, they can be dealt with stealth, they can be dealt with by talking to them and tricking them. There's you could get through the entire game without killing anybody now, including the bosses. I don't even know if there are bosses really. Like even in the game there's not really, like it's not somebody you meet and go, oh, this is a boss battle. You just kind of continue the game. You know what I mean? Like you don't really meet, I don't think you're gonna meet somebody and know right away that this is a boss battle.
Are they more like encounters with key characters rather than formal boss battles?
Yeah, I think that's a better way to do it, a better way to look at it. It's definitely, when you look back, you can say, oh yeah, that I guess would have been a boss battle. But it's not something that I don't think it'll be something that you immediately realize that is, oh, okay, here's boss number two or whatever. Of course, this is a gameplay thing, and I could be completely wrong, but based on the story, what I'm looking at through the story. You have to understand, I go into work, and I'm either spending the day in a mocap suit, going over the story and doing the lines, or I go in a voice booth, spend the day in there. Meanwhile, behind me in the studio is 400 people designing the rest of the game. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Like, I know the story. And I know the characters and I know where it goes, but the only gameplay I know is when I ask, can I come see some of it? And then they say, yeah, sure. And then they bring me in and let me come see some stuff.
I assume that you've had a chance to play it yourself.
I haven't actually played it. I haven't actually sat down and actually played it. I've seen the first level played in front of me. First level, again, same type of thing. It's not really a level thing.
I guess that's the gameplay video that was released after E3.
Yeah, similar to that. Yeah, I saw that. I saw a bit of an advanced version of that. But I haven't really actually played it. I got to go back for some marketing reasons next week, I think. Or not next week, but the week after. And I'll ask them if I can play a level or two, if it's ready.
Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah, I did that last game. They let me sit around and play the first few levels.
Yeah. So what else is new for you? Do you have any other games coming up?
Games? No. I've been doing just TV stuff. And I'm still just finishing up Deus Ex, little pickups and things like that.
Hmm.
But for me, it's just been TV stuff. And what we done, we finished Far Cry. Yeah, that's it for games for a while. But you know what? You know, like Far Cry, the game came out in February, and I started working on that in September of the year before. Like, I didn't even get... it was like, oh, I'm going to be in the lead of the new Far Cry game? All right, cool. And that was 2 months of work, and then... But, like, a week before September, I didn't know the game even existed. So you never really know, man.
Yeah.
You get a call on Tuesday, and it's like, yep, we need you for this game now. So who knows?
All right. Well, that's pretty much it for me. Is there anything else that you want me to ask you or that you want to talk about?
No, man, I think you should go to bed.
I think I'm actually pretty awake now, so I'm just going to, ride it out.
Well, it's Saturday there, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so where are you again?
In Sweden.
That's right, in Sweden.
Yeah.
Here's the weirdest thing. I was at the airport. I was at Heathrow. You knew this. I was at Heathrow last weekend. And I had three separate people come up to me and recognize me from The Expanse, the TV show that I did. And they were all from Sweden.
Really? I'm not going to lie. I've never heard of that show.
Yeah, then we watched it in Sweden. I'm like, okay. I didn't know you did. I didn't know you could. Yeah,
is that on Netflix or something?
It's not on Netflix. I think the only way you can get it in Sweden is he said he downloaded one of them. When I asked like how he watched it, it was a couple, and they said that they downloaded it. And I laughed. I'm like, do you mean like you torrented it? You illegally downloaded it? They're like, no, we paid and downloaded it. So I guess they mean iTunes or...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I guess it was iTunes.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But it's a really good show, and I'm glad people in Sweden seem to really like it.
I'll have to check it out in that case, if it's big here in Sweden.
I guess it is. I'm huge in Sweden.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this.
Okay, go to bed, for God's sake.
I will. Thanks, man. Goodbye.
All right, I'll talk to you later, man.
Letar du cyklar och cykeltillbehör till bra priser? Då är du verkligen inte ute och cyklar om du letar hos oss. Hos Biltema!